Welcome back to the Deep Dive. This is where we, take that stack of sources you send us and really try to make sense of it all. Today, you brought us a really interesting one. It's a look into a specific service operating right in London.
Yeah, our sources are all focused on Gautam G, who's described as an Indian astrologer. And well, the way the service is marketed is incredibly precise. So our mission here isn't just to list things off. We want to really analyze the strategy, how this ancient methodology is being blended with very modern worries, career stress, finding love, that sort of thing. We're diving deep into that connection between the spiritual side and the very practical logistics. It's all based on the documents we have in front of us.
Well, what's immediately compelling, I think, is seeing that adaptation in action. We're looking at methods rooted in ancient Vedic traditions, but they're being explicitly marketed to tackle these very specific, very contemporary issues you find in a huge city like London. It's fascinating, really, a study in making ancient wisdom feel relevant now. Exactly. So let's start with the identity piece first, because the language used, wow, it's not subtle. We're not talking gentle suggestions here. The claims in the source material are, well, they're superlative right from the start.
Right. The positioning seems designed to just cut through any uncertainty. The sources don't just hint at competence, they claim absolute leadership. We see these titles used repeatedly, like top best Indian astrologer in UK, and then even more specifically for the local market, best Indian astrologer in London. It's very direct.
That kind of really assertive language, it makes you ask, right? In a place like London, which is surely packed with advisors of all kinds, why go so strong with the claims? Is it just noise?
Well, I think it functions as a quick filter and maybe a trust signal. If potential clients are just overwhelmed with options, claiming to be the top best sort of short circuits the decision process, it's like an instant claim to authority. And that leads us right into the credentials they mentioned to, back that up. The authority seems to rest on two different kinds of pillars.
Okay, tell us about those two pillars then.
So the first one feels quite tangible. It's about longevity, professionalism. The sources mention years of experience. That suggests, time invested, skills honed through practice, standard professional credentialing almost. But the second pillar is, well, it's completely intangible. It's described as deep spiritual insight.
Right, and that's the tricky one, isn't it? How does the source material try to, validate that? Deep spiritual insight isn't exactly something you list on LinkedIn.
It doesn't, not in a measurable way. I mean, the phrase itself is really meant to imply something innate, right? A profound intuitive grasp, something beyond just technical skill.
Yeah.
It suggests the advice comes from maybe a higher or deeper source than just calculations. And that combination, the verifiable experience plus this kind of unchallengeable spiritual depth that seems to be the engine for building trust quickly.
And when you look at the big promise, the overall goal for the client, it kind of mirrors that blend, doesn't it? The immediate and the profound. The core mission is stated as helping clients overcome challenges. Okay, practical. But then it leads to achieving these huge life goals: peace, success, and happiness in life. That's a massive promise.
It connects directly, I think, to those big city anxieties we mentioned. If you can offer solutions for the immediate stuff, a rough patch at work, relationship issues, and promise a path to fundamental, lasting things like peace and happiness, well, that's offering the whole package, isn't it?
But let's push on that a bit. That promise, peace, success, happiness, it sounds enormous, maybe even unprovable. Do the sources offer any, testimonials or concrete examples to back that specific promise up? Or is it mainly resting on the authority built by those superlative claims and the insight idea?
Based just on what we have here, the effectiveness seems to be established through the authoritative language and those claimed credentials, especially the deep spiritual insight. The trust mechanism relies more on the perceived ancient wisdom and the promise of personalized application, which we should get into, rather than, say, client success statistics or anything like that. It's the assurance of the method itself that's supposed to be convincing.
Okay, that makes sense. Assurance through the tradition itself.
Right.
So it's one thing to make these huge promises, peace and happiness and all that, but we need to understand the mechanism. How do they say they deliver? Let's unpack the how in section two, the method and specific deliverables. What technique are they actually using?
Well, the source material is very clear on this. It roots the practice firmly in tradition. It explicitly names it ancient Vedic astrology. And that's important because it immediately situates the service within a known, established system, centuries old.
Okay, for listeners who might not be as familiar, how is Vedic astrology generally different from, say, the Western astrology most people see in magazines? Do the sources hint at what makes it unique?
They don't give a full technical explanation in what we have, no, but the key difference usually comes down to the zodiac system used. Vedic astrology, or Jyotish, typically uses the sidereal zodiac. This is aligned with the actual observable positions of the constellations. Western astrology more often uses the tropical zodiac, which is tied to the seasons. So by stressing the ancient Vedic part, the service is claiming, you know, authenticity, a connection to these classical complex systems.
So it's applying this deep ancient system to solve very modern, sometimes quite specific problems. And the list of services they offer, it's actually quite detailed in the sources. It's not just vague life advice. It targets particular areas.
Exactly. It starts with the things you might expect, you know, providing accurate predictions, offering precise horoscope readings, standard astrological fare, perhaps. But where the marketing seems clever is how quickly they pivot those traditional insights towards very practical, almost transactional areas of a client's life right now.
Okay, give us the specifics there. What are those practical areas?
Well, we see a really strong focus on what seem to be the two biggest anxiety points in modern life. Relationships and money, essentially. The source material explicitly promises solutions for love problems. That could cover anything from arguments to maybe bigger relationship crises. And then, crucially for the material side of life, they offer specific career guidance.
That blend, using, say, ancient constellation calculations to solve modern love problems, that feels like the core offering. It connects the sort of cosmic, ethereal stuff with the very real struggle of, you know, paying rent in London or finding a partner.
Yes, it seems like a very deliberate synthesis. The service presents itself as using this incredibly stable, ancient system, cosmic laws, essentially, and applying it directly to the messy, chaotic bits of your modern life. It offers to take some of the uncertainty out of, say, making a career change or figuring out a relationship.
And the way the service is structured reinforces that individual focus, too. They're specifically called personalized astrology consultations in London.
That personalization piece is key, isn't it? It suggests that the deep spiritual insight and the Vedic methods aren't just generic readings. They're tailored, supposedly, to the individual client's unique situation. It implies a one-on-one approach, like the astrologer is a trusted advisor interpreting this ancient wisdom just for you, based on your birth chart and your current problems.
So if we pull back and look at the bigger picture from these sources, it seems to show a practice that's really dedicated to making spiritual guidance, that insight, feel very practical, tailored to fixing immediate, maybe urgent life issues. It positions the astrologer not just as like a spiritual figure, but as a vital problem solver, using old wisdom for modern problems.
Exactly. And that sense of necessity is probably what underpins the big authority claims we saw earlier. I mean, if you're promising to solve urgent love and career problems, the service shifts from being just an interesting spiritual option to something potentially essential. Utility.
Okay, this is where, for me, it gets really interesting. Grounding this authoritative ancient service in the real world. Section three, logistics and location. We've looked at the spiritual claims, the methods. Now let's see how they build credibility through, well, geography and just being easy to contact.
Yes, and this part is actually quite striking in how modern and professional it feels, especially for a service rooted in ancient tradition. The operations described are very contemporary. The sources are crystal clear about the location. It's London, UK, yes, but they give the exact full physical address for consultations. It's listed as 317 Station Road, Harrow, HA12AA, United Kingdom.
Why is that so important, do you think? Giving the full street address, they could just say Harrow area or London consultations.
Well, having that specific, verifiable physical address does a couple of things. It fights ambiguity, for one. It signals stability. It says, this isn't some vague online thing. We have a real place. It suggests the astrologer is part of the community, physically present. It adds a layer of professional legitimacy, especially in a major city like London.
Right. It makes it feel more like a registered business, maybe. And the sources provide even more practical details, don't they, to make contacting them super easy.
Absolutely. The documentation seems focused on removing any friction for a potential client. So besides the address, they list clear ways to get in touch. There's a phone number, plus 447-405-562258. And they also include a specific contact email, gautamastrologer74@gmail.com. Multiple channels.
And even a map link, just to make finding the place totally straightforward.
Correct. The source mentions that specific map link is included too. https.maps.app.guo.gl2ag-hexo-hrbt1p66. So the overall message from the logistics part is pretty clear. Yes, we use ancient Vedic methods, but we operate like any professional, accessible, modern business you'd find in London.
Okay, so putting it all together then, the big claims, the ancient method, the very modern logistics, what's the overall picture painted by these sources?
It feels like a very comprehensive description of a highly specified service. It details the method Vedic astrology, the location Harrow, London, and these really ambitious goals, fixing career and love issues, leading to happiness. It really is a carefully built package, isn't it? It seems designed to reassure clients on multiple levels. It aims to be spiritual, backed by tradition, yet also professional in how it runs, and completely accessible within a busy modern city. The strength, I think, is in that blend. The ancient part makes the claims feel powerful, while the modern logistics make the service feel credible and easy to actually use. So just to summarize our deep dive today, we've really explored the claims, the specific services, and the strategic positioning of GauthamG, based entirely on the source materials you brought us. We highlighted that blend of trusted spiritual guidance rooted in ancient Vedic astrology, which is then marketed very directly to achieve tangible results, career success, relationship harmony, all while building credibility through those concrete London logistics.
And this brings up a really interesting question for you listening in. When you're evaluating any kind of service that promises a big change, spiritual help, coaching, whatever it is, how much weight do you give to this kind of blend, this mix of powerful, maybe intangible promises like deep spiritual insight, alongside very concrete, practical things like a specific street address and easy contact details? What stands out to you about using both cosmic principles and a Harrow map reference to build trust and authority? Something to think about.
Thank you for joining us as we dig into what makes these kinds of claims feel compelling.
We'll catch you next time for the deep dive.